everyone. How's everyone doing today? All right. My name is Sean McGarry. I'm the showrunner for Eslintha. And then you guys want to introduce yourselves?
I'm Matthew. I voice Turgeon, and I'm one of the producers.
Hi, I'm Carter Lyon. I'm one of the producers. I deal with a lot of the tech stuff that you'll also see. And I am the voice of Rowan.
So for those of you who aren't really familiar with us, we're a small production company that does a lot of audio dramas and podcasts that is split between the United States and Canada. Our biggest show is Eslintha, which has a cast of about 30 voice actors playing countless characters. I've lost track of how many people we've got working behind the scenes, but last year we were actually on the top 20% most followed shows on Spotify, and we figured we would recreate some of the more popular moments that have introduced the characters that we've actually gotten requests to bring back onto the show before. But, well, it's a little hard to fit 30 members of the cast on this stage, so we're going to be doing all the voices with just the three of us. But before we begin, does anyone have any questions about any of the how we do things for making the show or anything like that?
Not today.
Nope.
Okay.
All right.
You're up first.
Well, for the first scene, we had one character that showed up for a single episode back in the fourth episode of the show that we had no idea was going to be so popular, but he has been requested by pretty much every fan base interaction we've had with a, hey, is Ezekiel coming back? Is Ezekiel coming back? A little bit of context before we get into the scene. The characters ended up going and they needed to buy supplies to go on a large trip through the desert where they had gone with absolutely no equipment at all. They had like one of the characters had like a suit of armor with no gear, and they had like just no equipment, no food. So they go to this shop that they know the owner of that has some questionable items for sale.
I don't know what you're talking about. Those are perfectly good items.
They are the best. I love the stick.
So the four characters in the scene were Ezekiel, who was voiced by Jean-Paul Wright, who's not here, who I will be voicing, Rowan and Turgeon. But to make things interesting, we're swapping which of these two is voicing who. And then Tick is voiced by Karma, who also is not here, so Carter is taking that voice as well for this scene.
We're just going to pick an accent and roll with it, and we'll see what what comes with.
Ah, hello, my friends. I see you've received my invitation.
Why did you do this?
Welcome to Ezekiel's Magical Artifacts and Supplies.
Yes, yes, I'm here. So what is it you need to talk to me about?
Ah, yes, well, a little bird told me you were going into the pyramid.
Gods damn it, John.
Relax. I agree with your idea of saving all those missing archaeologists. Doesn't help business if my customers just die horrible deaths. Which is why I, Ezekiel the Great, am offering you a 5% discount on all my wares.
Ah, yes. Thank you. But I think we're set.
Now, hold on. We need supplies, and if the pyramid is as far as Bemal says, we won't make it without a restock, and a discount is good while we have it.
I'm assuming he picked the French accent because the voice of Tick is A, from Kent, yeah, is Quebecois. I can totally speak. And also, we used French for Elvish, and Tick is an elf.
And then Turgeon gets...
Also, this is going to be fun when Karma hears this back.
They won't hear any of this beforehand.
Yeah, what's the harm in checking for supplies?
I thought you wouldn't want supplies from a sand-covered shop like this.
We're in the desert. There's sand everywhere.
Fine.
Excellent, excellent. Now, tell me, my friend, what is it you desire? Name it, and I shall find it.
Well, we need a tent to protect ourselves from the sun.
Ah, yes, I have just the thing for you. Let's see,
Rumble.
Behold, Ezekiel's invincible tent, which totally isn't a shaken up bottle of pop.
You have to be joking.
That's a tarp and a stick, and it doesn't even have anything to hold it down.
Have you got anything besides that blanket?
Ah, you desire something of higher caliber than the average traveler? Have no fear. I will find an item for you. So says I, Ezekiel the Great. Let's see here.
Glass shattering noises.
Ta-da! Feast your eyes on Ezekiel's more invincible tent. This tent will protect you from any sandstorm or desert heat. Some restrictions apply. It doesn't work on sandstorms, monsters, or anything else, really. If you experience side effects such as death, please see your local healer.
That's just the same tent with a second stick.
Can we please just go?
Yes, please.
Wait, how much?
Ah, a man of taste. For you, my friend, after your discount, it's 600 pieces of gold.
600? I'm going to have to pass on that.
Wait, my friends, please. I see you are people of wealth and importance, so here, before you find something else for you, this work?
Okay.
This is the greatest tent ever made. It's made from the leaves of an ancient tree in the Great Forest, laced with giant's blood and enchanted by the Knights of Orion. It can't be cut, blown away, or otherwise affected by those that didn't pitch it. It can be yours for 10,000 gold.
Right. No thanks.
Let's make a deal. The second tent, 20 gold.
400.
50.
350.
50. And the contents of that pouch on this... and this enchanted spear.
Deal.
Awesome.
This is a bag of sand. Well played, friend. Well played indeed.
Pleasure doing business with you.
Good luck out there. And thank you for shopping at Ezekiel's Magical Artifacts and Supplies.
Wow, Turgeon's accent devolved so badly. Like, yeah. My goal was Batman, and it just fell apart. Like, so fast. It's weird not doing a British voice.
It's not as easy as it sounds, is it?
No, it's really hard. How do you do that? So, every recording.
I do it very easily.
Usually when we're recording, each actor is recording separately with me on call with them directing, and then we mix them all together in post-production, and then add in a bunch of sound effects, background noise.
We have some amazing editors that actually make our nonsense sound good.
And it's interesting, because none of the actors get to hear each other until it's all made together. So all our performances are really interesting to have to try and play off of each other, and you don't get to hear the change that everyone has.
Yeah, normally I'm the only person who's actually present for every recording, and even then there's been a couple of times where I've had to just listen to it back and then give notes for re-records. Because, our team is spread across three different countries, and several time zones, which makes things fun for coordinating.
The best.
So then we also had a few episodes later, like six episodes later, the introduction was six episodes later, the introduction of a character named Grog, no last name. Grog was a half-orc who was so stupid that he couldn't even remember his own name. He could just remember his favorite drink. So he referred to him by the name of his favorite drink.
Oh, yeah, it's me.
So we're going to be... I cut the scene in half because it was a very long scene. We're going to be recreating the meeting with Grog. Carter, guess what? You get to be Grog.
Oh, yay. Oh, awesome. Awesome.
Matt?
Do you need a reference for Grog?
I don't remember what he sounds like.
Grog goes where Grog wants.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I'm not going to imitate that. Okay. I'm not that
Matt,
good.
Matt, do you just want to take Grog instead?
Nah, I got this.
Okay. Matt, you're the bartender, and I'm going to be voicing Turgeon and Tick, and Matt, you're also Rowan.
All right.
You are weak. Grog only takes strong to fight big monster.
I tried.
That would be the party leader.
Oh, great.
Oh. Please, try to keep the damage to a minimum when you deal with him.
Grog
did run? Did he just call himself Grog?
Oh, good. I was hoping I misheard that.
Is it too late to just steal that ship and not go with him?
Let's get Turgeon and go.
All right, I get to try Turgeon now.
Hey, you! With the giant sword!
What's he doing?
We're dead. We are so dead.
What? You want join Grog?
Yes, I come with you to fight giants.
Only strong come with Grog. You fight Grog, and if Grog think you strong, you come with.
Deal.
What is he doing?
Good. No more talking. Fight!
And we're going to skip this next part because there was a very long fight scene that...
A lot of chairs.
Well,
break.
We can't really create the sounds of chairs being thrown around on
the
stage.
I mean, we can. We're just not allowed.
Bang, true. Bang, clash, clash. Grog gets stumped because he doesn't actually win.
Confusion. That's you. I'm not wrong.
Page break.
So much for staying under the radar.
We're not going to have to fight him too, are we?
Gods, I hope not. Gotta say, the guy can take a hit.
Which one, Turgeon or Grog?
Both.
Fine. You strong. You can follow Grog into battle.
And them.
Eek!
Fine. Small one can come with. They make good bait.
Oh, good. Bait. Lovely.
When do we leave?
Now. Get ready. Grog will kill big monster. Bring peace. To battle!
Your Grog and your Turgeon sound very similar.
It's a hard... Your Grog and Turgeon sound very different, but it's a hard voice to do. I don't
it
know,
is.
I don't do deep voices. All of my voices are high-pitched.
Grog got written out of the script simply because his vocal cords couldn't handle doing Grog yelling every line every episode.
He is a painful character in more ways than one.
My character just got less nasally. That was it. That was like all the character voice transition I had to do.
Yeah, I just voice a lot of side characters, so... Yeah, and I also did, you know, some monsters like the zombies.
In the first episode, there's an original cut of us where there were four people in about 20 different roles, and each one of us is playing like 8 separate background people, and that's the moment we discovered I sound the exact same no matter what I do. It just the accent changes. So now I just change accents.
Yeah.
So,
that's when we realized we needed to branch out, and we started hiring voice actors and became a real company.
And we got to meet some fantastic voice actors.
Yeah.
We didn't work with him last year, but during this year we worked with...
No, Kyle Phillips was last year.
Oh, Kyle was last year. We worked with Kyle Phillips from My Hero Academia, if anyone knows who that is. And he appeared in
episodes
the series.
22 and 23.
Okay, I was going to guess 21, so I was wrong.
We ended up, the first 4 episodes of the show was actually done as a student project where I was in college at the time taking a class for podcasting. So we just did it, you know, they were helping me out with a school project, and then next thing I know, it's 2 years later, we're 30 episodes into our show and a professional company setting up at conventions and traveling and stuff.
With another show in pre-production, another show in production, a short film making rounds through festivals.
Oh,
it's crazy the way things go when a couple friends just randomly meet through a mutual friend and then decide to play a game together.
Yeah, the 4 people who founded our company all met together through a mutual friend, found out we all liked Dungeons & Dragons, and this was in 2020 when no one was really going out and doing anything. So we played Dungeons & Dragons together in a campaign that then became the premise of the plot of our show. And, well, now we've got to deal with stuff like tax paperwork.
Don't get me started.
The fun disappears quick.
Yeah, no, it does. But it is definitely something interesting to get to be able to travel. I'm part of the Canadian team. I live in Toronto. So this is the one time a year I'm ever stateside. And I have to say, it is quite an event, especially at something as big as MegaCon.
Yeah. But yeah, so for the final scene we had picked out, it was from episode 22 when the party is on their way to try and meet a dragon, which is the character that Kyle Phillips played. They also had to try and find a dwarven prince and convince him, hey, you're going to come with us, not mess up, and then we're going to just tell your dad that you did all the work so that he'll give us what we want, because the king kind of had what they wanted, and for some reason the party of four, one of which was a literal child, did not want to fight an entire army. So for this one, we've actually got you two get to play your own characters for once.
Oh, wonderful. So much better.
There's six characters in the scene, so we're each taking two. I'm taking Bori, the dwarf prince, and Tick. And then, Turgeon, you're playing the child.
Amazing.
And, Carter, you're going to be playing the pirate.
Oh, yay, I'm the pirate. That's fun. They're also going to be British. Oh, yeah, I start off this scene. Okay.
There's something over there.
Who's there?
Who's there? Stand back, I'll be forced to fight you. Ooh, scary. It's one versus four. Whatever shall we do?
Displeased sounds.
Sorry, five, of course. You think you're a match for me? I am the great Bori, first son of the dwarf king Gulnar, and I will fight for what's mine. There's nothing here. What are you talking about? Enough of this. Bori, is it? Listen to me.
Aggressive.
No,
footsteps.
Don't look at them. I'm talking to you. You said you're the king's son? Yes, I am. I'm the son of...
Yes, yes. We talked to your dad, and you're supposed to help us with something. I don't know.
You did? Wait, I am? He did, surprisingly. We're to find you, and you're to assist us.
I don't think he's going to be much help.
Oh, what makes you say that, Turgeon? Is it the fact that we found him hiding, or that even though he threatened to fight us, he hasn't drawn his axe?
Good, you're ready.
Axe being drawn noises.
Good, you're ready. Let's go.
What are we doing exactly? Can someone please fill me in?
Well, from what the king said, you were trying to do, I suppose.
We're going to see the dragon.
And your dad said you can help us. Of course I can. I am the great Bori. I'm a great fighter.
Well, we're actually going to try avoiding fighting, you know, a dragon.
What? But it's a dragon. We need to kill it. Our battle's going to be legendary. There will be tales told of it. We're going to try and talk to him. Talk? You're going to try and reason with a dragon? That's asking to be killed in shame.
I agree with you, Bori. Trust me, you're arguing with the equivalent of a brick wall.
Well, it's going to work. I have excellent diplomatic skills. It's what I studied.
Is that why you're an adventurer now? They're not exactly known for their diplomacy. It'll work.
Tick can handle it. And if he doesn't, we have five fighters here.
And then the child.
You got this.
I'm here too. I can fight.
That was the worst possible.
You were included in the five.
Wait, who wasn't?
Was it me?
I'm a great fighter.
But, silent footsteps.
Yeah, literally, the child has been played by multiple people and none of them are here. So, of course, I chose, let's give the person with the deepest voice the lines of the little 8-year-old girl.
That was fun to initially find someone to play, because it's surprisingly difficult to both sound old or young. Though, like,
yeah. But when we first started out, our company was literally just four people, and then we got some of our friends to do some of the voices, and then they kind of got stuck with those voices long term.
Complete side note. Person who's covered in blood over there. That looks awesome. Sorry, I had to. I noticed it, and I had to. back on track, hopefully.
But yeah, so we started off as just like a handful of people, and then we've been expanding slowly, and then we did a rapid expansion going from, oh, we've got like a small team of 18 to, oh, there's like 30 of us, and we're doing three shows at the same time. And branching into live action, which our first live action production won Best Horror Film, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actress, Best Cinematography, Best Makeup, and second place for Best Director just in its first festival, and we're waiting for more results from since then.
What's really interesting is, so my background is all tech and engineering, so I had nothing really to do with drama and this sort of side of things. So going into it, to really see how all the different spheres have their, like, big differences and big similarities, like, podcasting, obviously, it's so individualized, because you can do it from anywhere. You don't need to be in the same place, the same time, anything. But when it comes to film, that was the first time we had to, like, bring everyone together and figure out scheduling, which is the hardest part, but being able to actually keep everyone on set, and how much more work it is when everyone's there, but it's
the logistical nightmare.
But yeah, it's really interesting.
Like, I thought scheduling a D&D game was hard. Scheduling people yes. from multiple time zones and multiple countries to be on location to film a film and be available for multiple days in a row at the same time is a lot harder than scheduling a D&D game.
It's a little difficult.
Especially since all of us have jobs outside of the production right now, that just adds to the complication of trying to line everything up.
But yeah, it is really cool. Some of us have backgrounds, and it's a lot of skills that you have to learn, especially in order to do a lot of these things.
Yeah, like, I think only maybe half of the people who are on set actually had training for being on set, because, well, like, I work in film full time, and then for some of the other team, like, I know our makeup artist was a full-time makeup artist. Same with, like, part of the cast was full-time, like, full-time actors. But then, like, for our camera crew, our lead is going to, he's still going to school right now, right?
He's still going to school.
Yeah, but then, like, Carter had, like, no experience, and he was trying to run the second unit entirely by himself.
Same thing just in general with, like, a lot of stuff for, like, podcasts more specifically here, because that's our more major thing, is, and I'm going to go into just general advice for people who do it, learning skills so that you don't have to get other people to do it is super important. Like, I had no background in editing, and so I had to learn audio editing, I had to learn soundscaping, how to fix mics and what mics are good and how all of that works, and there's a lot more that goes into it than what you get on the other end. You know, you're listening to a 12-minute clip, but that 12-minute clip could be 2 weeks worth of production time of getting the voice actors to record and editing and all these different aspects. And it's really interesting to see what you kind of have to learn really quick.
Yeah. Yeah, Matt, how long was that last recording session we had?
Just for my lines was an hour and 18 minutes.
I'm pretty sure that was an 8-minute episode.
Yeah, it was an 8-minute.
It was an 8-minute episode. It was an hour. It was over an hour.
And that was just for my lines. I think there was, what, 5 other characters in that episode?
Yeah, yeah. I know. I had to edit it. Thanks for that, by the way. I appreciate it.
Yeah. But once you actually, like, get the skill sets down, it's a lot of fun to do stuff like this. And then for promotions, we started off with just having, like, a table at other booths for conventions. And then recently we've started expanding and doing, like, our own booths at conventions. But they're phenomenal for promotional purposes.
Well, conventions in general are really interesting. Coming from Canada side, the biggest convention in all of Canada is maybe a fifth of MegaCon. Maybe. It's maybe like 20,000 people max.
I thought Fan Expo Toronto. I thought Fan Expo Toronto actually hit six digits, didn't it?
No, it definitely did. That building can barely hold six digits, and they are small conventions. Actually, one of the cast members we brought with us, or one of our staff for our booth, has never been to a convention before. So this is his trial by fire of going to an event of. What? I think it's running quick numbers for number two in the world for convention size, depending on how it goes tomorrow.
Yeah, I know San Diego and New York are definitely up there, but this is big.
And cons in general are a great way to connect, and you learn a lot. My personal favorite thing to do, go around cons, is just talk to people, especially at the lunch tables, if people know what I'm talking about. You know, you have to sit down, and you just awkwardly all sit down at the same time and are asking each other, can we sit here? You meet so many amazing people, whether it's cosplayers who are making their own equipment, and, like, there was someone here, I think you said, in, like, the cart titan from Attack on Titan, who had, like, two people helping them because they couldn't steer, to... I met one of the artists who was fantastic. They're over at the artist Big Lane, named Alice. And you can just meet so many amazing people who are doing things and how much you can learn from them to go over to the stuff that you do, whether it's podcasting or YouTube or anything of the such.
Yeah, and, like, it's weird. The first time we were here, we were by ourselves. We had no other vendors, that stuff. Now we've grown to the point where there's actually four different vendors, if you include ourselves, who have some sort of merch from our company.
Shout out to the new, just generally shout out to the new podcasting area put on by our wonderful friends here, because this is a really cool stage to be at, and it's exciting to see, like, our last panel that was here, bigger panels starting to go on and more community-based stuff.
Yeah, but... Yeah, so we've got, like, our own booth right over there in the podcasting section. Acme Comics has, like, a table of just our merchandise. Dragonbone Studios actually has art of one of our characters in their booth at Artist Alley.
Amazing artist. One of my favorite we've ever got to work with.
Yeah, and then, like, Arcanic Artistry makes some of our stuff because we make a lot of our own merchandise, but at a certain point you kind of hit a limit for what you're able to make on your own. So we've had to get outside help from other artists like them.
Carter actually has the biggest collection of business cards. I am confident in this.
I do.
One of his favorite things to do at these cons is to go around through Artist Alley, and we love making connections with people. And a lot of them, yeah, we reach out and we end up working with them, and they are just fantastic people. We love coming to the conventions and meeting everybody.
This is a really good place, especially for meeting really talented people, because cons like this are one of the only places where you can really show off things of this magnitude. Because it's the only place, other than Halloween, this is probably the only place where anything could go and you'd be like, yeah, this is normal. Like, someone could be... like, did anyone see the person walk by in the big spring shoes earlier who was like, I think they were at, like, 8 feet tall, and it's like, yeah, no, that's normal.
So, going back to the show itself, do you guys have any particular lines or behind-the-scenes moments that are, like, your favorite things that you've said or had happen?
So this is the first time I've done anything with voice acting or really anything in production outside of I was in choir in high school. So it was a lot to learn for me, and developing the character over the course of the podcast and developing his voice. When we first started recording, the voice of Turgeon very often turned into Yoda. There are multiple clips where I'd have to re-record lines because all of a sudden it sounded like Yoda invaded our podcast.
When I was first doing Rowan, like when we first came up with the idea and the character and everything, the whole idea was he was going to be very suave, very like Indiana Jones style. And then the other two cast members, like I heard their performances and I was like, no, he can't be that. We need some sort of comic relief, and it's just he became it.
And the writers decided that we need to have a character that every bad thing we could think of would have to happen to the same guy. So of course we chose Rowan.
Yeah, they really laid that on me. And then Rowan's voice was, I just didn't want to use my own, and so I threw on a British accent, and then that just kind of stayed.
Yeah,
which was fun.
In the first episode, I voiced way too many characters.
Yeah, you voiced, I think in the official episode, you still voice like 8 characters.
Yeah, but there was a character that we got rid of very quickly, named Brother Corin.
Oh, I'm so glad we got rid of him. So glad.
You've already heard his voice.
I used it for Ezekiel, yeah. But
Brother Corin, I would talk like this, and it annoyed the entire casting crew.
And he still does this, like, all the time. Just while we're, like, working on stuff, he'll just pop out of nowhere like this.
If he had used that voice for Bori, I was going to quickly ad-lib a rewrite in the script to kill Bori.
But, so, there was a moment where the characters that weren't Corin had to have a conversation with each other, and Corin had to be talking in the background. So I got them to record their lines, and then I just got, okay, here's how long it is. Time for me to just improvise an entire speech as Corin, and how long can I go without breaking character? And we actually had to cut it off early because the original version of it before I gave it to the editors was about 25 minutes of me just talking in that voice about random things. Like, at some point, I think I was talking about, like, my favorite recipes to cook.
I don't think I've ever actually heard that raw file. I gotta listen to it sometime.
It is a good point with the podcast, though. Sometimes having a character that everybody universally hates for no reason at all can really make the other characters look better.
Oh, yeah, 100%. One of my favorite things is when people are writing the script, they're obviously writing it because they speak regular English, no accents, and I play a character with a British accent, so it's normal, but they'll write words that I just simply can't say. For some reason, the word here is really hard to say because you just sound so awkward the whole time.
And then a lot of the times it's kind of interesting because some of the actors will say word for word what's in the script and not change at all, and then some of the actors will just go completely off script every single time.
I read the scripts when I record. I never read them ahead of time, and then I kind of make up whatever I don't like. Sorry, but I'm not sorry. It's terrible for the people who have to transcribe the episodes, but for me, it's great.
Yeah, we've gotten some great moments from that have actually stayed in episodes where it's like, okay, yeah, I there's no way I could have thought of something like this, but yeah, it's in the script now.
Just true to D&D, the best thing you can do is just sometimes just make something up, keep talking, and things will be funny, or you'll laugh. And if you like it, people will probably like it.
Yeah, like the oh-so-wonderful bloop bloop, I'm a fish.
I'm usually the polar opposite. I will stumble over the line repeatedly until he stops me and I force him to rewrite the script on the spot.
That happened when I have to pull actors in to record, and there was one actor who was just like, can I just he didn't care about what was written. He needed to add punctuation, which was my favorite thing. He stopped the whole recording session. He's like, can I just add punctuation? And I think we spent 20 minutes of just him grammatically correcting the script writers.
Yeah, wasn't that your father?
Yeah, that was my dad, who recorded for the character of my dad, which is great, because he has all these lines where he's, like, possessed and angry and saying all these, like, horrible things to my character. And I'm just sitting there being like, you're doing great! You know, this is awesome!
Yeah, of the 4 producers, 3 of us have had at least one member of our family show up in the show at some point.
I've had every member of my family except for one show up.
Yeah, I've had my father voiced an elf at one point. You haven't had anyone yet.
I haven't had anyone join in yet.
But our 4th producer who's not here, we've had their sister and their brother both voiced major named characters at some point during the show.
My dad voiced my dad. My mom voiced a sea captain at one point, because she was the only British person that we knew to play that role. And my sister shows up in one of, like, we have a song area, like a sea shanty, and we got a bunch of voices, and so we just added her to it, which, speaking of the sea shanty, that was the, who was the sea shanty?
That was Big Sis of Anime on TikTok, yes. Hannah. Yeah, we got one of my mutuals from TikTok to record the solo for the sea shanty, which... That was fun to get to work with, and also, you know, writing a sea shanty when I have no music production experience was...
It's interesting, because, like, we'd never touched music side of things. We have a music producer, wonderful Andrew B., and he does a lot of our music, but we had never done our own music production, so we had to figure out how, like, words and timing, and it's very different from speaking, because you have to go to this rhythm and this flow, and... Part of the lines, I had three people record, and one dude recorded the whole sea shanty in three separate vocal ranges, and I actually used him three times, because each time was so distinct and really well done. Oh, it was great.
Yeah, when we did the sea shanty, I can't read music, let alone write it, so I wrote lyrics.
My sister was so mad.
I wrote the lyrics, and because I couldn't figure out how to transcribe it in a way that would be readable for musicians, I recorded myself in my... wonderful singing voice that I'm never letting anyone hear.
It sounded lovely.
I recorded myself singing every voice part that I could hit the notes for, and then I gave that to him to then...
My sister listened to it, heard it, and went, okay, this is terrible, and then immediately re-recorded it, and so all the ones that the actors who actually, like, sung did were all from that.
Yeah, we've had, you know, we've had some moments like that, and then... We've had other great moments, like, well, when we worked with Kyle, we got that done, and he was saying, like, oh, so the editors are going to add, like a reverb or something just to make it sound a little bit more echoey, and I don't think you guys really did anything to the voice, did you?
I did a little bit of work. So I do a lot of the more specialty things, and I did a little bit to his voice. I added reverb. The coolest thing, for anyone who wants to know, I use Adobe Premiere for everything, or Adobe Audition. My favorite voice recording editing software. But there is a setting where you can essentially make it sound like you're speaking in a certain environment, and they have one for halls, like big rooms like this. And so you use that, and you can add this really cool echoey effect to things, and then you add a little bit of reverb to add bass, and you can do really cool things with voices and how they sound in that sort of way.
So besides, you know, Turgeon and Rowan, has there been a favorite character you guys have each
Ezekiel.
Voiced?
Ezekiel. Oh, who I've voiced. Oh, I haven't voiced that many other side characters. Out of things that I've done outside of this, I'm voicing a character in a visual novel. That's fun. That these two haven't heard about. And I literally, they were just like, make the worst character you can think of. And so it's just the most annoying, obnoxious character I got to play. He was great.
For me, it's painful to do long recording sessions with Grog, but I love recording Grog.
I like Grog Yoda.
I have gotten so into the character of Grog that every time there's a recording session where I have to record him, Grog, like, completely ignores all the standards where... Everything else, it's Turgeon, episode 1, scene 2.
Oh, yeah.
With Grog, it's always, oh, Grog gets to speak again. You must like Grog. Grog, best voice.
The blooper editors love those moments.
Grog has a lot of that because when I'm recording Grog, his personality just comes out. It's not so much reading the script as the character just more comes to life. So I really like recording him. Because it's fun having that experience of the character coming to life while you're recording it, but it is painful.
Yeah, Grog was also one of my favorite characters to write. It's just because of how sore your vocal cords were getting after some of the sessions, we had to write him out.
It was interesting. There were a lot of characters. We seem to have this bad habit of killing off characters who just show up. and it's always my favorite new game to play with people who, like, listen and don't know the script is just like, who's going out next? It's pretty much, if they show up, they could be gone next episode. We're not sure. And it's kind of fun to be able to. There's actually only one member of our cast who, on a side note, who actually wasn't originally there for when the full idea was, like, come up with, which who ended up as Ondina.
Ondina was fun to cast. We actually had cast the character, like, we had cast the actress as the character months before we even had the first line for the character written. It was like, okay, we know we're going to introduce this character at this point in the story. This character is going to be a pirate.
Oh, yeah. That was our only requirement. We're like, yeah, let's pick a pirate.
Yep. And then we got Anya Aldred, who's the cosplayer Anya Panda. She's also a trained voice actress. And she's been voicing Ondina now for over half the show.
Has Ondina really been in the episode that long? When did we meet her? I don't know. Okay. We meet her at the dock arc.
By the time that the episode that we've recently recorded comes out, it'll have been half the show.
Oh, wow. It's been a while.
I'm still amazed that it's already been over, like, what, 2 years now?
Yeah, we started working on the show January 2021, and it's now March 2023.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Wait, is it March or is it April yet? No, it's still March.
It's still March. We got one more day.
Okay. Yeah, any questions at all before?
Absolutely.
Hey, so, good show. Are there any voice actors from your childhood that you take huge inspiration in doing your voices?
For me, not on a character that I ended up getting to voice in the official show, but a character I voiced in the rough cut. When I did Ezekiel, I tried to do, I did kind of like a Rumpelstiltskin from Once Upon a Time.
Rowan genuinely comes from my mom. My mom is from England, but his sort of performance originally, like I said, was Indiana Jones. You know, this very suave, charming, and then I kind of played him and got used to him, and then I kind of more leaned it towards Tom Holland's Spider-Man. Like a very kind of nervous, nerdy kid who just like way on over his head and doesn't believe in anything he can do, and that was really fun.
My favorite Rowan line is, I don't want to die today.
That's everyone's favorite line. I had to do that so many times.
For me, it was not technically a voice actor, but a narrator. I love audiobooks. And there's a book series by Marcus Heitz called The Dwarves. And the narrator of that series is absolutely amazing, and that's where I got a lot of the inspiration for mine.
I actually didn't know that. That's cool.
Any more questions before we wrap up?
Oh, yeah. I like the aftershocks. I wear the same headphones. They're great. They're my favorite.
They're a little weird to get used to with the vibration, though.
Yeah,
my question is, I've done some voice acting a little bit, and I've always heard stories about funniest moments in the recording booth, and I'd like to hear some of yours.
So there's a lot of moments. I like to swear a lot, but the show, no one's allowed to swear. So there's so many moments where I'll just be like in a scene doing a moment super intense. I'll say a swear word and just goes, nope, roll it back. Start over, and I've redone so many scenes like that. And
I think most of his re-records when I'm directing him are me reminding him he can't drop F-bombs.
I'm not allowed. Just one. That's all I'm asking for.
All right.
For me, it's I don't have a actual recording booth set up, so whenever I have to record loud things, I try and do it when I'm the only one in the house and whatnot. I felt really bad for it. We had to do a scene where there was a lot of yelling and fighting, and my brother came to make sure that I was okay because I was scaring the dog. I felt so bad because my brother's dog thought I was mad at him. I had to stop recording and go love on the dog.
I've had so many moments like that where I'm like, I feel like someone's gonna call the cops. Because I'm screaming bloody murder in my house just for, like, one recording scene.
My favorite was just because of how stupid it felt. There was a scene where we had a bunch of zombies, and so I was recording the voices for them, which I worked on a fairly large zombie show that...
A little large.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I can say the name officially or not, but it was a certain show that was filmed in Georgia, and I was a zombie on that, and...
It's the one you're thinking.
Most of the time, you're not allowed to make the noises on there. So it's like, great, I can finally do it. It feels so stupid making the zombie noises without makeup on in my room by myself with like my cat at my feet and nothing else.
The first time I ever recorded, I didn't have a booth yet. So I think there's a video of it somewhere where I had to just cover myself in blankets. And I'm sitting underneath my desk with my mic arm upside down so that I can talk into it. Otherwise, there was just no soundproofing my room. Eventually, I put it up, but there's some clips of that.
Yeah. Didn't we call that, like, Battle Blanket or something?
No, it was Darth Blanky.
Oh, yeah, Darth Blanky.
Darth Blanky. That's my best moment.
Yep. All right. Any last-minute questions, or...?
I think we're at the end of our time now. So.
Yep. I think we're...
Thank you, everyone, for coming, and thank you, everyone who stayed.
Yep.
Pleasure seeing you guys. We'll be over at our booth if you want to come say hi.
Yeah, we're at the Lantern Zora booth, second one from the end, right over there. Woo. All right. Thank you, everyone.